Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Mark. I'm here with a Buffalo kid, Tom Cudahy, and this episode of the podcast is going to be our playoff preview. We want to thank everybody for getting in touch with us. We've met a lot of great people all across North America, from Quebec to Alberta, Vancouver, Seattle, Colorado. I mean, just everywhere has been a great response to our first episode. Was the interview with Clint Malarchuk, and it's fantastic. I mean, that guy's out of his mind cool. Ridiculously humble about everything he had to go through from childhood all the way up to today. Again, we want to thank Clint for coming on with us and spending as much time as he did with us. That's just silly that happened the way it did. A lot of great insight on the city of Quebec and their fan base, as well as the fan base here in Las Vegas. When he was here for 7 years in the mid-90s playing for the Las Vegas Thunder, and then going on to be a player coach, assistant GM, and assistant GM to Bob Strum, who did a phenomenal job. I got to go ahead and say that again. Let me bring in the Buffalo kid here. Tom, how you doing today?
Hey, good. Yeah, let's get to the first round previews. But someone was on TV. Is that right, sir?
I heard a rumor. One of the two of us was on Fox 5. Morning show. They wanted, I guess they needed somebody who happened to be at the first ever outdoor NHL game, which actually was here in Las Vegas, for those of you that don't know. 1991, Kings Rangers.
I moved here in 1988.
I grew up a Kings fan, and when I had the chance to go see Kings Rangers back then, there's no brainer. I almost didn't get tickets, but they started scrounging around trying to find somewhere at the bottom of the barrel where there was somebody still in Las Vegas that happened to be at that game. And our good friend of the show, Dana Lane.
Oh man, Dana Lane.
Dana Lane passed my information on
to Carl over at the morning show,
Fox 5, and I did get a chance to get on there and give a little interview. They happened to term me the Vegas hockey know-it-all on the intro there, sir.
Oh,
so
man.
I don't. It's kind of tough there. Kind of tough.
If you can see this, you know, it just, the head gets bigger and bigger. do those headphones fit you or what?
I'm on the final click, sir. I'm on the final click. But no, it's. I do know a lot about Vegas hockey.
No doubt.
Because I've been here since 88. I don't know how many years that is. 20,
oh, man.
27 plus.
We got to do math now?
I'm not doing math. I've been here a long time. I've been to all the Frozen Fury games. I've been to the Wranglers games. I've been to the Thunder games. And now I sound like a freaking know-it-all, so I'm going to stop talking again. And just say that, yeah, I know a little bit about the history of hockey in Las Vegas, and there's more to it than, oh, hockey in the desert, dude. There's a little more going on here than that. I'm going to leave it at that. But from now on, yeah, you can just call me the Vegas hockey know-it-all. I'm going to go ahead and embrace it. I'm going to love it. And I'm going to go with that as my moniker, sir.
Dana,
Vegas hockey know-it-all.
Dana Lane, see what you started, man? Should have never started that. Started the whole monster here.
I appreciate the... everything Dana Lane's done. You know, he runs a, if you happen to be in Vegas and feel like wagering on a sporting event that's completely legal here, we encourage that. And Dana Lane Sports, at Dana Lane Sports on Twitter, he runs a sports information service to help you get the most out of your buck down at the sports book. Does a great job consistently giving out the best information here in town. We want to thank him. That guy,
unreal.
Yeah.
Sabermetrics, biometrics.
Analytics. You want to go Corsi rating on Dana Lane? Oh, I think he's number one overall.
Man, Corsi rating, top notch.
All right. So if you're not in the state of Nevada, then for entertainment purposes only, if you wish to follow along with Dana Lane Sports, at Dana Lane Sports. He comes across consistently with the best sports information, and he can give you, if you text him on the, he's got a text line out on his Twitter page where, if you text him up, he'll hit you up with a free Major League Baseball sports information play of the day for entertainment purposes only, as far as that goes. But, no, he's been a great friend of the show and a great friend to hockey in Las Vegas. Stepping up big. Everyone in town that's doing anything at all for the hockey is a friend of the show. So we appreciate Dana, right?
The next GM of the Las Vegas franchise.
I don't know if I'm going to go there. He could be the PR director.
I'm saying GM. Who knows more about hockey than this guy? Player by player, staff by staff. I don't know who knows more.
I'm going to say the Vegas hockey know-it-all right now. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding again. Anyway, so we're going to get on with our playoff preview. We're going to look at the Western Conference first. We're going to go with the number one overall seed. That would be the Ducks series.
Oh.
Ducks Winnipeg, Tom, is that correct?
Ducks Winnipeg, yeah. I think Anaheim's walking right into the hornet's nest here.
It's a tough series. Winnipeg down the stretch won every game they had to win.
Yep.
And even, you know, Bufflin had a 4-game suspension there for, a little excessive contact in the crease there. If you want to go back some old-time hockey, maybe that's not even a penalty.
I tell you what, I was watching the game. I don't think it was worthy of 4 games, but
it was an intentional cross-check to the throat of a guy who was laying on his back. Back in 75, they don't even call that a penalty.
You got to let them know where you're coming from.
If you're in the crease, you got to get moved out.
Big buff.
So they, you know, they, I don't know what their record is in those games that Bufflin missed. He did come back for the last game of the season.
He was there, yeah.
Those 4 games, they didn't miss a trick. And it was still up in the air between them, Calgary, and the Los Angeles Kings of who was going to get those spots. So Winnipeg came down the stretch pretty strong. I know Gibson took an injury there in the last couple games with Anaheim. I don't know what his status is. So if you go with Anderson, he did make the splash in the playoffs last year, and he's done pretty good in the regular season.
Gibson? Right.
Gibson and Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Gibson and Anderson.
Sorry, I was looking at something. My bad.
What do you got?
Forgive me, sir. No, proceed.
Proceed. Okay.
Disregard.
So Gibson got the bench last year in the playoffs, and they brought Anderson up actually from the AHL.
You've seen those games, right?
And yeah, I did. I was paying a little attention.
Yeah,
a little bit. That portion of the playoffs last year, and yeah, he was good in Game 4. Yes, he was good in Game 5. He was phenomenal in Game 6. But even Tom will remember, I said, you can't start an AHL goalie in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it did come back to bite him in the backside there. But maybe he learned from it. Maybe he comes through and he steps up to the challenge against Winnipeg. What do you think?
It was definitely a dicey move there last year's playoffs. But, you know, Frederik Andersen is the presumed number one. I don't know. He fell shy of the Ducks' single-season wins record this year.
By how much?
By J.S. Jaguar.
How many wins was he short?
Tied the record from 1944 to fastest goalie to 50 NHL wins.
Gibson or Anderson?
Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just read that now. My apologies. I didn't have that in the bank.
Wow. I feel like maybe I'm disrespecting Mr. Anderson.
Man, you remember Jiggy?
Of course. Wow.
Well,
where are we at with this series then? What are we talking about? Winnipeg finished hot. Anaheim was 50-50 down the stretch. They have some goaltending issues, a little injury there to Gibson. But apparently Anderson's a little more in the bag than I thought he had. Still going with Winnipeg, though.
I'm going with Winnipeg. Pavlik, I know they were through Hutchinson in at the end there, but Pavlik, you look at his stats at the end. He was just as good as anyone else out there. Statistically speaking, for the last month or two, he was right there. right there.
With wins and losses.
Wins, losses, save percentage, all wow. that. Yeah. Well, I think Winnipeg, they did, they're deep, man.
I would say, and I agree.
Every time I watch a game, Lee Stepniak scoring on the third, fourth line. They got yeah. depth.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, I'm looking at them, and they're built the same way as the Kings are built. They got big bodies. They'll play you heavy. They'll play you right to the line of hard grit hockey. And maybe, you know, take a 4-game suspension and yeah. go over the line.
Hey, why not?
The thing, and it's kind of hard to say, but they have an element in their game that makes them a little more dynamic than the Kings. Their team speed is a notch above what the Kings can bring. They have the heavy bodies that can wear you down over 60 minutes, and again over a 7-game playoff series. But they have the team speed. If they get a chance to counterattack you, from what I've seen in the last month of the season, they can counterattack you, and they can outspeed you, and they can outquick you, and they can outhit you if they need to.
They're going to bring the noise for sure. Especially in their house.
The other issue I have is, you know, last year Anaheim had Game 7 at home and didn't finish the deal. The year before they didn't even make the playoffs. I don't know if this group they have is playoff proven. They've been regular season proven.
Oh, no doubt. That's why Boudreaux is gone from the Capitals. They dominated during the regular season. Now, you know, Boudreaux's there with the Ducks.
That's tough.
I'm saying
You did say it.
I'm saying Winnipeg in seven.
Seven in Anaheim, then. They're going to lose another game seven at home on the back-to-back.
I am saying Winnipeg in seven. And just for the record, I don't want to say every series six. You know why? Because everyone says six. So if it goes seven, oh, I said six, I was close. But if it goes five, oh, I said six, I was close.
You're trying to play the middle. You're trying to play the middle with six.
No, I'm not doing that.
You're not that guy.
Unless I feel very strongly about six, I will say it. But I'm not going to say it just to be, you know, just to be a know-it-all after the fact.
Oh, know-it-all. Here we go with it. Here we go with the know-it-all.
That's your title.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So I guess maybe why I said that, maybe you don't say six every series.
You know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go Winnipeg in six. I'm going Winnipeg in six. If you're going to throw the know-it-all, I'm going Winnipeg in six. That's where I'm at. I think Winnipeg has more than Anaheim has. I think they're a great regular season team.
Hot goalies.
Enough said. That's where we're at. What's our second? We're going St. Louis.
St. Louis and Minnesota.
Ooh.
Speaking of hot goalies,
that's tough, dude. That is tough.
I'm sure you've noticed the hot goalie there, and I'm not talking about Jake Allen
or Elliott.
Brian Elliott
or Elliott, huh? Are you talking about Dubnyk?
Oh, is that his name?
Are you talking about Dubnyk? I don't even know his first name. I don't even think I need to. What's his record down the stretch? Do you have that there?
No, not yet, but it was phenomenal.
It was 27-something and something.
I don't want to bore your stats here.
Okay.
I'm trying to load it up here. But yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go. The thing about this series, St. Louis has taken the number two overall seed in the conference, sir.
Devin Dubnyk.
Double D in your face.
What a great... Talking about trade deadline acquisitions.
He's a nobody. He's a throw-in. Wasn't even spoken of.
I know, like, the, you know, we just talked about the Jets. So we'll go back there, you know, with Drew Stafford, yeah. Tyler Myers. I know yeah. that wasn't at the deadline, but it was a trade. But Lee Stepniak and Talusti, they have four solid lines there. Now, going back to the trade deadline, Dubnyk. Are you kidding me here? What did they trade, a third-round pick for him, I believe?
It's ridiculous.
Third-round pick, and they're in the mix now.
Hey,
hugely. a threat.
I think that's what that team was missing last year. To be honest with you, you look up and down their roster, they're solid down the middle, except, you know, they had the goaltending issue with Harding.
But if you want to let everyone know, he had a physical MS,
and he, God bless him for fighting through it at the end of last season.
Man, they had to bring in Brizgalov. They had to bring in Brizgalov last year for the playoff run. You remember that?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
No, I do not.
Yeah. That's how desperate they were.
Tough.
Was that 2 years ago? I think it was last year.
No, because Philly had to release him before he went to Minnesota.
Oh, man. I'm going to get fired here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was last year, though.
Definitely not the Vegas know-it-all. Thank you, Ken, by the way. No, either way, goaltending last year was unsettled. Let's just leave it at unsettled.
Yeah.
And go forward to this year. Of all the deadline acquisitions, you might say that the impact made by Dubnyk was the most important acquisition by a franchise. If you go back and look at the results after that, I mean, if you want to be a hindsight prophet, you could say that Dubnyk's been the most important acquisition to his team. That happened at the deadline.
On 1.78 goals against average.
Enough said. I don't know anywhere else you have to go.
9.36 save percentage. I hate to do this, but yeah, I don't want to bore people with stats. You guys know them.
Yeah.
Everyone knows them. The guy is red hot. We're talking horses here. Parise, Pominville, Vanek, Koivu. Come on. And the local kid here is firing up here.
It sounds like you're reciting Sabres.
Jason Zucker. Yeah,
reciting the Sabres roster there.
I mentioned Chris Stewart, by the way.
He's in there too.
And Jordan Leopold, if you want to go in depth here. But yeah, regardless.
It's
Jason Zucker heating up right at the end.
Las Vegas's finest.
He was banged up with some injuries, but came back 3 goals in 2 games. One was an empty netter, but yeah, he's a little more depth there and speed. Man, a kid could fly.
Okay. So where are we at on this series then?
We're talking St. Louis here. What do you got there? I think they have a young gunner there in St. Louis too, don't they not?
The problem with St. Louis, and I'm not bought on the postseason. They had 2-0 leads at home. They're the higher seed franchise in the last 2 playoff seasons, and failed to close the doors. So they got reverse swept twice in a row.
Man,
if you look back at the similarities between when they played the Kings in 2013 and where they played the Blackhawks in 2014. It's the similarities are just ridiculously eerie. They go up 2-0. They go on the road. They get shut out by the same score, I think. It's almost like they did not learn as the higher seed and the home ice advantage how you're supposed to respond. Here in Vegas, everybody knows you bet the home team in the first 2. They change venues. You take the home team in game 3. So now that higher seed should be up 2-1 at the end of 3 games. That's where the smart money is.
Sure.
You go to game 4, the higher seed team has to win that hockey game. St. Louis has been unable to get that done.
Can't do it.
Then you go to the 5th game, you're back at home. So you're 2-2, you go up 3-2, game 5, you got 6 and 7 to close them out. They've been unable to do that. They've been reverse swept twice.
Unacceptable.
I don't think that doesn't show me you're playoff tested, sir. And like, you've been making the point. We've been preparing for the show, and the whole Elliot, Allen, are we settled in goal? Ooh. Are we 50-50 in goal? Do we know who our goaltender is when we take the ice? What do we have there?
I don't like it. I don't like that. Questionability. I don't like the. I'm not too sure.
What's happening?
I'm gonna put Jake Allen in, but he's got short reins.
If Jake doesn't get it done, then we'll go to Elliot real quick. That's not playoff hockey.
That's
December hockey.
That's
There's December hockey. Yeah. You're trying to find out where you're at, who you got, who your number one is. You can't be doing that in the last week of April or the last week of March, first week of April.
Can't do it.
And
it's gonna cost you every time.
I gotta give TJ Oshie his props. It's USA Hockey.
Fourth on the team in scoring, TJ. So TJ Soshi, as they call them, remember?
TJ Soshi? Remember well, that? You know, 7-4. You know, he wears 7-4 July 4th. July 4th, 1976. 1776? What are we talking about here? July 4th. Americans know what that date means.
But.
He's the American kid.
Tarasenko, could he put him over the top in this series?
That's the wild card. That's the wild card. He's the difference. You know, I got Backes is a great captain. He'll do whatever it takes. Oshie, obviously, he's proven on an international stage, he can do what it takes when it's needed, at the highest level of international hockey, sir.
Man, another Yank on that team too was Paul Stastny.
And you know, he came over from Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know why Colorado soured on him. He did have an injury to start the year, so you know his numbers might be a little higher if he had played how many games did he play this
74,
year?
74, Stastny.
Oh, so he didn't really miss as many as I was thinking he did.
Well, I think Tarasenko ate up all the goals.
what's he got?
Tarasenko's 37 goals. 37
as a rook, right? Second year player?
Yes. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. He could be, he's the X factor in the whole series. No one knows if he can do it in prime time playoff hockey or if he's a regular season hero. You just don't know.
And I do, you know what?
It's a tough series.
I do like the D, you know, Barrett Jackman, Jay Bouwmeester.
Puck mover.
You know, they got some veterans and your boy Otter, Steve Ott. You know he's good.
Follow
you
him know, at Joel Ott 9, Otter 9 on
yeah.
Oh my goodness. I've seen him a long time in the Western
You
Conference.
Know the guy's gonna bait a couple people in some penalties.
Did he push a coach out of the way trying to get off the ice there in Dallas?
Oh yeah, that's right.
didn't he just cross check a coach?
It was LaViolette with the Flyers, I believe.
It was LaViolette. He's like, trying to get off the ice. He's like, we're first, dude. No. Cross-checked him right out of the way. So,
yeah. My boys are coming. the guy's a team player, man.
That's old-time hockey. He is a team. You saw him in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Fans love him.
He's the guy. He's that guy. He's Daniel Carcillo. He's Steve Avery, if you will. If he's on your team, you'll love him.
I don't know if he's face-washing goalies.
That's fantastic. But, you know,
the Avery thing.
The backhanded stick right in your grill.
Yeah,
not even looking down the ice.
It was Brodeur he was doing
that's
it too,
fantastic.
Right? Remember that? He was.
I remember that. Ex-Los Angeles King. But that's Otter 9, dude. He's on your team and you hate him or you love him. And you play against him and you hate him. So, I don't know. It's going to be – this might be one of the series I pay real close attention to.
For sure.
You got Parise. How many more years does he have with Minnesota? They gave him $9 million a year.
Yeah, did he sign like a 10-year deal with
He's not that young to sign 10-year deals for $90 million. What's the hunger factor there? I gotta believe it's high.
He wanted to play in Minnesota.
Another Buffalo Sabre.
Yeah, but he wanted to be there. He didn't matter. He wanted to be in Minnesota. These guys are ready to roll, man.
That's a tough series. I'm gonna go. I've seen St. Louis in the playoffs, and I've seen them give it up.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go right there, gut feeling, Minnesota Wild, sir. I'm going Minnesota Wild.
I agree.
Dubnyk's been maybe the second. Third at the most hottest goalie down this track. The only guy hotter than Dubnyk's the Hamburglar, in my opinion.
No doubt.
You go with a hot goalie in the playoffs. You got veterans in the locker room. You got young kids there in Minnesota. I'm going Minnesota 7 games.
I'm going Minnesota in 6.
Okay.
That be a walking contradiction?
Going 6.
A talking contradiction. I don't care. I'm taking it.
Walk it, talk it, live it, love it,
I'm
sir.
I'm just going to do it. just in spite.
You're calling it Minnesota in six.
I'm doing it. Yeah, even though I hate saying
hey,
six.
Hey, if that happens, then I'm gonna call a reverse sweep. I'm gonna say St. Louis goes up 2-0 at home, and they get four in a row again. Mm. I'm calling it right now. If it's six, that's what happened.
I love it.
All right, what do we got next in the West?
What do we got? We got.
You want to go Calgary, Vancouver, or do you want to go Chicago, Nashville? We got two left.
Yeah, two left in the West.
Where do you want to go? Let's go Calgary, Vancouver. Little Canadian matchup for our hockey friends north of the border, sir.
Tough series. Again, we're talking goalies. I don't know. At least I am.
I'm talking playoff experience, and have you done it yet?
Yeah. And that's well,
I'm
Calgary,
going there, too.
Calgary isn't there, that's for sure. If you're basing it off of playoffs.
Vancouver's not there either, sir.
They were there last year, weren't they?
They were in the playoffs. What'd they do?
No, yeah.
Calgary hasn't
sniffed them in a while, have they?
I think there's a hunger and a youth factor there. So there's a lot to be said, and you can argue this if you want, but I'm gonna pull out a golf reference here. Jordan Spieth in the Masters yesterday over the weekend. He's young enough to not know what the heck he just did.
Yeah, just do it.
What I'm saying? You just go out and play. Just go out and play the game the way you grew up playing it. You want to go out in the yard and play on the pond? I think Calgary is young enough to just go out and play hockey.
I'm on the Calgary website. Hashtag never quit.
Never quit.
There you go.
You know what? I think Vancouver's window's closed. I hate to close the window on a province. But I think the British Columbia hockey needs to retool. They went through. I mean,
this was supposed to be the retooling year, and they made the playoffs anyway without even trying.
That's
the huge thing I think we were talking about earlier.
Yes, we were.
I don't have my old hockey news, but I don't think anyone picked Vancouver to make the playoffs.
If you go back to preseason predictions. After their off season with the general manager, and second year removed from Vigneault, so now you're on your second coach in 2 years, and then you trade Kessler down to Anaheim because he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Under Tortorella, man, it was a mess.
Ugh, disaster, and still, you know, it's a great point to bring up that the resiliency of that club, no matter what goes on in the front office. No matter who they put on the ice, that's a playoff team. It's a playoff hockey team. But they can't get over the hump. They can't get over that. Now, are you going with Eddie Lack? Are you going with Ryan Miller? We're kind of the same deal as St. Louis here.
Same.
Where you're going Elliott or Allen. Miller was injured 4-6 or 6-8 down the stretch.
He played the last game. I think he let in, I think they won 5-4, but he let in a bunch.
So,
but, I mean, it was his first game back under, what do you have, a knee injury, right?
I think it was the knee.
I think they're going with Lack, but.
You have to.
Again, short range, though.
You open up at home. If you lose game one, do you go to Ryan Miller?
I don't know.
Do you bring 30 in? Do you bring him in?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's tough.
When that dude's on, he's on. But then again, he was with St. Louis last year. And you saw what happened there. So
It didn't work out.
And especially it's coming after the injury.
You got to go with Lack in game one, I think.
I'm
not impressed with Lack. I'm not.
He seems to be holding it well, though. He's holding the fort up.
I think there's too much change, too much turmoil. I give the franchise mad props for stepping up. And not only squeaking into the playoffs, but taking number two in the division.
Yeah.
Right behind the Ducks. I mean, I give it up to them. It's another case of the Ducks, though. I'm not convinced they're playoff ready. I'm not convinced they're a playoff squad. You could go back in the Sedin's history. They got 100-point seasons, 100-point seasons. This guy's
all
got
time.
Goals. This guy's got assists. It's scoring machines. In the regular, and you get
phenomenal.
To the playoffs, and I mean their best chance was Boston. They had Game 7 at home,
oh.
and they get shut out at home. Mm. shut out at home.
Speaking of goaltenders, if my memory's right, then they had a little, that particular cup. It was Luongo and
Schneider.
Yeah, they were flip-flopping all over the place.
Luongo started game 7.
But they were switcheroo-ing it all over the place.
They burned the city down.
a couple cars, anyway.
Yeah, at minimum. Minimum, there was some all-state claims done after that game 7. So I think that was their best chance. I think that was their best team in the last 10 years, at least, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm going the other way on this one. Going the other way.
I agree. I like Calgary.
I'm calling Johnny Hockey in 6.
Johnny Hockey.
I'm calling Johnny Hockey in 6, sir.
Sean Monahan. Man.
Their defense corps can put it in the net too.
Yeah.
I seen it against the Kings.
Giordano and Weidman. They're right there.
They can put it in the net.
They're pushing the puck up a little bit.
I'm going. I've seen it. You know, they eliminated the Kings, defending Stanley Cup champions, sir.
Yeah.
And they got Calgary took them out, and they may be young enough to not realize what they're doing, and they may be experienced enough to do it. I'm going Calgary in 6. I'm calling it.
I love it. In 6, huh?
I'm calling 6. We got 3 in the West done, and we got 3 upsets. Look back, we got 3 upsets in the first round of the West. That just goes back to show you, the Kings got in 2012 as the 8th seed and won the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
Won the Stanley Cup. Started every game on the, every series on the road, came home 2-0. Came home 2-0, finished the playoffs 16-4 with the Stanley Cup, first in franchise history.
Man.
So, I mean, they're so closely bunched in the West. I think if any team can take out any team, but now we have the toughest series, I think, in the West to pick. You've got Nashville, Chicago, bro. Where are we at?
Nashville, Chicago. Man,
brutal.
Starting it off on Wednesday. That
you just saw.
I really don't know. I'm sorry. My apologies. We talk about since we've been leading. This is not scripted. Since we led off with goalies every series, we might as well just go ahead and lead it off again.
You want to get into the goalies?
You know, I don't know.
I'm gonna go Rene over Crawford.
Are you sold on Crawford?
No, I'm not. I'm sold. If it comes down to goaltending, Rene gets my check mark.
Right.
Rene gets my check mark.
Eighth round pick, Rene.
Talk about a find. If you got to the middle of March and Rene and Price weren't your Vezina Trophy winners, you weren't watching the whole league.
Man.
You were watching your own team, and you wanted your guy to be the Vezina Trophy. But when you get to the middle of March, something happened with Nashville.
And you know what? And it's funny, too, because we think Crawford is not there, but
got a better G. Is that on the season we're looking at? Is that on the season, or is that?
I think head to head, maybe.
Crawford 2.27 goals against.
Yeah.
On the matchup there.
Isn't that something?
Pekka Rinne 2.46. Or
and look at all the rest there.
Man, is this head to head? What we're looking at
here, yeah.
These statistics are a subset of total stats that drive the analysis. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I see a lot of red there, sir.
A lot of red for Blackhawks.
You can talk about percentage this and yada that. I see a lot of red there. And the gut feeling says Rene, though.
Agreed.
But you go...
Rene's, man, 6'5". He looks 6'8" in the pipes. When he goes down to his knees, his shoulders are hitting the crossbar. Right? But
Patrick Kane's out the first round. You just saw something that
hold
said,
on. Yeah,
let's
hold
go to the forwards. We covered the goalies.
Hold on. Yeah.
Crawford may be the what do you want to call it?
Ben don't break.
The unsung hero. The
just makes the big saves when needed.
I'm going to disagree. being a Kings fan, no offense to our Chicago listeners. I'm not sold on Corey Crawford, but I'm looking at this, Tom, and it's a lot of red on Crawford's side of the ledger. But it personally, I'm gonna give Rene the check mark. If you wanna check mark the other side of the ledger, sir, feel free.
Kaner might be the difference in this series.
Okay, we're gonna move to the forwards there. Is Kane? You just saw.
Sorry,
you just saw
for a second.
No, it's fine.
My apologies.
You're talking about Patrick Kane. You just saw something. He might be ready for game one.
Yeah, I did see that on the NHL.com, and they say he might be ready to go. And like I think you said too, even without him, they've been winning games.
Down the stretch, they didn't slip much.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they did not slip much. I'm intimate with the Blackhawks on a love-hate relationship. I might not be the most unbiased journalist at this point in time. But Patrick Kane is a difference maker, sir. And we were talking last year in the playoffs. The Kings went 3-0 to the Sharks and won the series. Kings went 3-2 to the Ducks, won the series. Kings go 3-1 to the Blackhawks, game 7. And we were talking at the time. I was calling for some old-time hockey. I wanted Trevor Lewis. Every time Patrick Kane stepped on the ice, I wanted Trevor Lewis in his jockstrap.
Brian Skrudlin.
I needed that.
And
I'm surprised that Coach Sutter did not just shadow that player. Every time he stepped on the ice, he was too much for the Kings to handle, and I'm going to say it right now.
Puck on the string.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable how good he was in that series. If he wins that series, he wins the Conn Smythe. I'm going to say that too.
Huh.
I'm going to go right now because I don't think the Rangers last year were ready for either the Kings or the Blackhawks. So if they win that game 7, and they had a 2-0 lead in 3-1 in the first period, they had every chance in the world to get past the Los Angeles Kings, and the Kings. Anyway, this isn't a Kings podcast.
Moving on.
This is not a Kings podcast.
Who do you like?
I'm saying if Patrick Kane plays in the series, I'm going Blackhawks, and I'm gonna say maybe in 5. I'm saying 5.
Oh.
If Kane plays in 5, if not, it's Blackhawks in 7. I don't. Rene's got the goaltender, but Chicago's so deep, man. Their forward core is just ridiculous.
They are proven.
Their defense core is I mean, just silly. You want to put Keith and Seabrook on the power play together? They got Kimmo Tiimonen at the deadline. He could be on your second power play team.
Almost
that's not going to happen in 15 teams in the National Hockey League. He's your quarterback of your power play, and he's on Chicago's second team. They're playoff proven, Stanley Cup champions, and I'm not going to bump them in the first round for Nashville.
I'm gonna do it. I'm taking Nashville. I'm gonna do it. I don't know why. There's nothing. We just looked at the stats. Statistically speaking, there's nothing to prove what I'm saying right now.
You're still in
it. But I'm taking Nashville. Nashville in 7.
Wow.
Nashville in 7.
Wow. You picked an upset in every first round matchup in the West.
Nashville should be favored, aren't they?
Yeah, they're number one.
Statistically speaking, which doesn't mean anything.
You're right. They do have home ice in the series. I don't think Chicago cares where they play.
And they don't.
There's an upcoming episode of the podcast where we talk about what makes hockey work in a given marketplace. And, geez Louise, Chicago. And when they're playing good, their home rinks. It's tough rink. It's friggin' tough rinks there.
Tough rinks there, man.
Tough rinks in Chicago. So there we are. There we are. We agree on every series except that series.
Except for Nashville. You know what? You know, I just read Mike Fisher might be out.
Ooh.
You know, Mr. Underwood.
Mr. Underwood.
Man. That might be a game changer.
I don't know if that's I think if you put Fisher in, Chicago's still okay. Just my opinion. That's a tough hockey club, man. Taves, I don't think his captaincy can be questioned at all by anybody ever. I'm going Blackhawks in five, sir.
You can say six. I was just kidding around when I said that.
I'm going five. Blackhawks in five.
I love it.
So that's going to close out our Western Conference first round preview and all our picks. We're going to close this out and get it published. We're running short on time here. Again, if anybody wants to throw their picks at us, VegasHockeyPodcast@yahoo.com or tweet us at @VegasHockeyPod. And if you do better than us, we're going to throw you a shirt. If there's more than one of you that do better than us, which should be pretty easy, actually, we're going to pull two names out of the hat, and we'll get you guys some shirts just for jumping in with us. And thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And we'll be back real quick here with the Eastern Conference preview we got done. We're just doing some production on it. So we'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.